And I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the I Want to Know More podcast this week, we're going to Psalm number 18. Now, we just got done talking last week about hailstones and coals of fire and what kind of things could cause that. That sounds to me like a volcanic eruption, the volcano to end all volcanoes that would cause coals of fire as well as hailstones. And you could have hailstones fall out of the sky due to the extreme updrafts that you have in a volcanic event. That actually is a thing, volcanic thunderstorms. And so this is showing, this section of the passage that we're looking at shows the power of God and how He can deal with our enemies. But we're going to look a little bit now about how He deals with us. It'll be a little bit. But we got to get through this passage about how He deals with the enemies of the people of God. Verse number 13, Psalm number 18. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave His voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, He sent out His arrows and scattered them, and He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. The power of God is unimaginable, how powerful He is. I mean, lightning is one of the most powerful things that we experience. And thunderstorm-related activities, whether it be a hailstorm or whether it be the rotating funnel cloud of a tornado or whether it be the extreme straight-line winds of a derecho. And those are the scariest. Where you have a thunderstorm come along and you get straight line winds of up to 100, 120, even 130 miles an hour can be experienced. Most derechos are nowhere near that bad, but there was one just this past week that took almost a million people out of power in the United States, in the states of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio especially. Experienced a huge derecho. Not as bad as the one from 2012. There was a derecho in 2012 that went from, it started in, I believe, Iowa, and it tracked along and went all the way to Washington, D.C. Single thunderstorm, long-lived, extreme winds, and very, very destructive. It was the worst derecho that had ever been recorded in the United States up to that time. And I believe it still holds the record there in 2012. And this is the power of God. This is what this passage is about. He's so powerful. Here's what He can do to your enemies, child of God. Now, we shouldn't desire things to happen to our enemies. We're supposed to love our enemies. We're supposed to pray for them who despitefully use us. I know that. But there's going to come a day of reckoning for the enemies of God. And when that day of reckoning comes, people colloquially call it the tribulation. When that day comes and the enemies of God are reckoned with and the pouring out of the wrath of God occurs, that's my preferred term, the pouring out of the wrath of God. To me, the word tribulation is a loaded term, and it does not convey the full depth of what's going to happen. But the pouring out of the wrath of God, that conveys it. That tells you what's going to happen. That tells you what's going on. And if you really study it, and you study in detail, and you look at the language of the Word of God, especially in the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, and you study and see what's going to happen, some of the things that the book of Revelation talks about, astronomically speaking, if you really dig into it and go to the logical conclusion, it will astound you at what's actually being said and what's being implied that's going to happen. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Discomfited, that means they didn't beat a haste, they didn't beat an organized retreat. They just ran every which way. There was utter chaos. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. This is the power of God. If he just simply goes with his nostrils, if he just does that, a sniffle, basically, that's enough to cause the channels of waters, that is, the deepest of the deeps, that is, like the Marianas Trench, it would blow the ocean out of its trenches, even 7 miles deep in the Mariana Trench, the Challenger Deep, the deepest place in the oceans. And the foundations of the world would be discovered. Now, and he can blow with his nostrils strong enough to discover the very core of this earth and lay it bare. And that's taking a bunch of material off the top of it. That's taking a bunch of material off the top of it. Verse number 16. He sent from above. He took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. There you go. My enemy was too strong for me. Can you imagine singing that after having to see your own son killed? Your beloved son, having to see that happen and having to see things go on and see all that occur. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine how hard that was for David? How hard it was for him to see that happen? Oh my, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. His enemy was too strong for him, partly because he was too close to him. It's the enemies of your own household that will defeat you quicker than any other kind of enemies. Definitely, definitely defeat you quicker. But the Lord delivers. He's strong enough to defeat your enemies, and he's strong enough to deliver you. Now, deliverance is a two-edged thing. Deliverance implies defeating somebody and rescuing somebody else. Verse number 18. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. I love that phrase. The Lord was my stay. What is a stay? A stay is a main guy wire or guy wire type situation, like you'd use for keeping a tower from falling over. My stay, that is, he is the main rope that keeps the main mast of a ship from falling over under the force of the wind. Under the force of the wind, it keeps it from falling over. And that's what a stay is. The main stay, that is something you can rely on. That is something that will hold up and will hold you up by pulling towards the ground. It's interesting the way that works. It's really interesting to me the way that works. But they prevented me. What does that mean? They hindered. That's what the word prevent means here. They hindered me. And it wasn't just hindered, it was stopped me. They stopped me in my tracks in the day of my calamity. They waited till he was down. They waited until things were at their worst. And then they struck him when he was down. They kicked him when he was down, which is a horrible thing to do. It really is. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Let's sit there for a few minutes. Oh, my soul, can you understand? Can you understand what it means for the Lord to delight in you? He takes a delight in you. Not only does he take a delight in you, he takes a delight in helping you. He takes a delight in delivering you. He enjoys it more than he enjoys anything else. That's what delight means. T- To delight in something means it tickles you to death to get to do it. You know, I love to smoke meats, you know, on a offset smoker. Take a whole turkey and spend the whole day cooking that thing. Or take a brisket and spend a day and a half, it feels like, cooking that thing and getting it just perfect and getting it just right, getting it to where the consistency is exactly right. It's not overdone. That's the hardest thing. It's easy to cook something for a long time. It's hard for it to not be overdone or to get it too hot while it's cooking. That's one of the key things, is not to get it too hot, because you've got to dehydrate it to a degree. But the longer you cook it above the boiling point of water, the more moisture evaporates out and boils out of the center. And that's actually the source of what's known as the stall in brisket cooking. In brisket cooking, you'll get up to a certain temperature and then it'll sit there for a while. And the reason is it's evaporating the water out, and that causes cooling. And to get past that stall, you need to wrap that brisket to hold the moisture in, and that holds the moisture in, and that causes the meat to cook without drying out too badly. And, you know, it can be tender, it can be absolutely fall apart tender, and be dry as a bone. It can be. I've made some like that. I was going to say I've eaten some like that, but that sounds like somebody else made it. No, I've made some and eaten it like that before. And so you have to cook it just exactly right. You have to put it at the right temperature, the right pressure. And I delight in doing that sort of thing. I delight in then seeing somebody else eat it and say, wow, that's good. That's good. Or, well, again, I've made a few. I've made a few that ended up dry. Maybe it was good moist on one end and dry on the other. And it was because I didn't have good heat control. I didn't have proper heat control on my coals and my wood chunks that I put in to the smoker. I've got a small, really small offset smoker. The smoke chamber, the cook chamber is really small, and the firebox is really big. And regulating the temperature is rather tedious, and it requires a lot of work to keep up with it. I love it. I love doing it. You know, it takes the Lord a lot of work to keep up with us. Is there something you do that's a hobby of yours that you just absolutely delight in? It's something you would rather do more than anything else. Some people, it's fishing. I never have been much of a fisherman. I never have been patient enough. And now I just don't want to go fishing because, you know, that was something me and my dad and my grandpa did, and I can't do that anymore with them. And, you know, I have one son who enjoys that type of thing, but he enjoys being all by himself more than anything else. And my other son, he is not much for that. And so, you know, I really ought to have taken a little bit more time doing that when they were growing up. But, in hindsight, there's things I could have done differently in hindsight, but that's what hindsight is. It tells you what you could have done. And you learn from that and you experience from that, and then you try to do better if you have the opportunity to do better later. But my grandpa and my daddy and myself, we'd go out fishing. We'd go hunting. And there's just a couple of years there that I was old enough to be able to do that with them and had interest in doing that. And then my grandpa died, and then my dad just lost interest in hunting altogether, just about. And he got one more deer after that. But then I just never have really been interested, because that was something I did with my dad and my grandpa, and I can't do that anymore. But taking a delight. Some people take a delight in that. Some people take a delight in fixing things. Some people take a delight in, you know, making furniture, making cabinetry. Some people take a delight in programming computers and working on websites and doing those sorts of things. Some people take, the point being, I could keep going for hours on specific examples of what people take a delight in. The idea is, what is the thing you enjoy doing more than anything else? Well, I'll tell you mine. Other than being in the company of my wife, the thing I enjoy more than anything else is to get in with a group of musicians. And I play bass. That's the instrument I prefer to play. I can play a flat top a little bit. I can catch a good rhythm as long as I don't get too fast with the flat top, six string. But I'm a bass player. And to get with a group of people that know how to play really well and play some good old gospel music, that is one of the things I delight in more than just about anything else on this side of eternity. And I hope and pray that the Lord will let me play a little bass when I get to heaven. I hope and pray that. Of course, I know I'm not the only bass player around, but maybe we'll have an orchestra of basses. I don't believe the music that we'll experience there is anything like what we have here. I think it's going to be so far beyond it. And I believe there'll be room in the choir for everybody that wants to sing and instruments for everybody that wants to play. And maybe I'll be able to play better, but I like bass. I really do. I enjoy playing the bass and sitting in and doing the foundation of the music in that regards. I take a delight in it. Another thing I take a delight in, and this is the thing I take the most delight in, is watching somebody come down the aisle to the altar to get born again. Yeah, now that's something you take a delight in. It's something that you enjoy more than anything else. Yeah, that's what a delight is. And of course, having time to spend and have the company of and talking with my wife, especially without the kids present, is precious, and I take a delight in it. I enjoy it. I desire that time. It's a wonderful thing. I take a delight in studying the Word of God. I take a delight in preaching the Word of God. I take a delight in seeing somebody's eyes opened while I'm preaching. I get to see that from time to time. And my soul, there's very few things I enjoy more than to see the realization of what the Scripture's saying on someone's face. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. That's what a delight is. Do you realize God takes a delight in helping you? He enjoys it more than anything else. It is His ultimate enjoyment is to help one of His children and to spend time with one of His children and to commune with one of His children, have some time to talk. He takes a delight in your prayer life. He takes a delight in your study. He takes a delight in your worship, and you need all three of those things. You need worship of the Father. You need prayer to the Holy Ghost, or through the Holy Ghost, rather, not to the Holy Ghost, but through the Holy Ghost. You need prayer, and you need the study of the Word. Those three things together will be your guy wires. Three sets of things. Three things that have to work together in balance. That's right, in balance. They have to be balanced, and they have to all be present for you to be properly stayed upright. Yeah, yeah. And the Lord takes a delight in your communion with Him in all three of those things. All three of those things He takes a delight. And David is saying here, He delights in me. Let's read it again. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. He delivered because He enjoyed doing it. You get that, child of God? Do you get that? He enjoys it. He enjoys helping you. He looks forward to you getting on your knees and asking. He looks forward to pointing you to a passage in Scripture that will help you. He looks forward to you being in an attitude of worship in a service and Him coming down and sending a little breath from heaven. He looks forward to it. He delights in it. It is what makes His day. Yeah. He delights. We're going to go on to verse 20. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. All right, let's talk about that for a minute. That'll probably be the last thing that we talk about. Folk, David says something here that really needs to be analyzed by you. You need to really take a look and a long, hard look. And he says, He's recompensed me according to my righteousness. Now, He delivered us, and that should have kept us from sin. But when we do sin, He rewards us according to our righteousness. Yeah. Because none doeth good, no, not one. David knew that. But David's righteousness, he understood, was his heart towards God. He prayed, he worshiped, he sang, he studied the Word. He did all those things. And that's what was counted to him for righteousness. Just like with Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Child of God, I know you do things that are wrong sometimes. I know we all sin. We all come short of the glory of God. And yes, the Lord will recompense us for those things. But you know what the Lord will also recompense us for? Is how quickly we repent. How quickly we confess. How quickly we get it right with God. How quickly and how thoroughly we try. Because He knows we're not going to be perfect. And yes, we're going to be chastised for things from time to time. David certainly got chastised. He's not saying he's perfect. He's not saying that at all. He's saying, I've not gone wickedly. He says, I've not just left him to be leaving him. Even when I was deceived by my sin, it wasn't just to leave God. He said, I was deceived by my own self. And he understood. He understood the depth of sin that he had fallen to. But he also understood the depths of the forgiveness and deliverance. See, that's the thing. He delivered me. He delivered me. And then he gave me recompense according to my righteousness, which really and truly is according to his own righteousness. He recompenses us according to his own righteousness because he has taken our sins and cast them away from him. Yeah. Ain't that wonderful? Ain't it wonderful that our God delivers? Ain't it wonderful? And see, that's one of the things that the people can sing about. And that's something that you need to sing about. Oh, you need to sing about his forgiveness. It's great to sing about heaven. It's great to sing about the things God does for us, and I'll have a new body. I love that song. I do, but it's another thing to talk about the love of God. Yeah. It's another thing to talk about salvation just as I am without one plea. It's another thing to talk about those things. It's another thing to preach about those things. It's another thing to be involved with those things and to consider those things. More. Let's sing about salvation more than anything else. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that's broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next time for I Want to Know More.